offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Sir Prakash is with me and this is Prem from Team Radio Sai. We are here to host this segment for you as it happens every Thursday. And we've been having the pleasure of having the company of Brother Sonam, alumnus of our university. And we are very happy and glad to tell you that we have him today too. So on behalf of all of you, once again, I welcome Brother Sonam to the program. Sai Ram, sir.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Prem.
Sai Ram, Sir Prakash.
In fact, I would like to correct what you just said. Mm-hmm. His name is not Sonam, it is Sunam.
Sunam.
Maybe
I
you
think
should...
There is a short story about that also, so I think it would be wonderful to share that.
Yeah, that takes me back to those wonderful moments when my name used to be Sonam. And Swami just asked me in Vrindavan, then mm-hmm. I was doing my 12th standard, that is second year pre-university course.
That is in the year?
That was in 1979.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then Swami said, what's your name and what's the meaning of your name? He would invariably ask the students. Mm-hmm. And I said, Swami, my name is Sonam. Mm-hmm. And in Tibetan, it means good action,
okay.
Good karmas. Uh-huh. Swami said, no, it's meaningless. Sonam doesn't mean anything. You should call yourself Sunam, which is good name. Uh-huh. And then Swami said, you live up to the name. Sunam. So later on, whenever Swami would eat pan, mm-hmm. and he would, smear some chunam lime on his on the betel leaf, mm-hmm. and then betel nut leaf, and then he would look at me once in a while and mm-hmm. then say that I am eating you. This is chunam.
Beautiful.
For every student, some wonderful
memories. Amazing. So, this discourse that we have been doing, I think for the past three sessions, right? Or four sessions. And it's called Practice and Precept. And just looking at the title, we have derived inspiration so many times because all our wisdom and knowledge stops when it comes to practice, I suppose. But as we have been discussing and speaking, There is something which comes to me, like if you are being taught something, you want to practice it. Like now we read something and we want to practice it. We have to practice it and we feel we have to practice it. But for Bhagwan, his life is his message.
Yeah.
And everything that he did was so perfect. And it is a spontaneous expression of his being.
Yeah.
It's not that he practiced something. And much to the, like many people would think he practiced some spiritual, that is also, yeah. The people think that he practiced some, he had some spiritual sadhana, but Bhagwan has very clearly said that I have not practiced anything, and he has not, he just lives it, he is, that's all. So that is one difference which I thought.
Many times he would in fact say that it's my nature.
Okay.
Like if I am full of compassion, mm-hmm. it's because that's my nature.
Mm.
If he does a miracle, he would say that it's just my nature. Huh. I am not doing anything out of bounds.
Correct.
To prove anything. Mm. But it's just my nature to give.
Beautiful.
When I read this topic, practice and precept, reminded of an interaction which happened with one of our old students. I think I would have narrated it before, but it's perfectly in sync with this topic.
Mm-hmm.
There was this gathering of students. One morning, Swami was in Vrindavan. Mm. Swami had taken a small group of students to an inauguration in Bangalore. So, in the evening, Swami was having a session with only those boys who had accompanied Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So, they had a lunch and there was an elaborate function there. They came back and Swami was asking the children about how was the food, what did you eat, how many did you eat, and that kind of a very casual session was going on. There was this one boy who was looking a little despondent.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a gloomy face. Swami looks at him and says, Indra, why are you so, castor oil faced? What happened? So this boy said, nothing, Swami, and all that. Then Swami said, see, I'm talking about food, which is your favorite topic, but still you're so gloomy. Something must be really, bad, something wrong. Then Swami asked, what is the problem? Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Swami, today we went with you. We saw how many people are, waiting to have a glimpse of you. Mm-hmm. How many people, it just shows how many people have placed their hopes on you. Okay, because the country, the world needs change and they're placing all your hopes on you.
Yeah.
And you are looking at us and saying you're the agents of change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Swami is saying that you have to go and change the world. It seems suddenly like such a humongous task, Swami. That was the pressure which was showing up as a gloomy face in that boy. He said, Swami, there's so much to be changed in this world. How can we few, a handful of people, go out and change?
Such a huge responsibility.
No, he said, suddenly I'm feeling so much of responsibility. I'm wondering how it'll be possible by this small group of students. And Swami very casually told him just two words. Swami said, don't care.
Oh.
So this boy said, Swami, what do you mean don't care? I'm talking about a huge problem and mental problem I'm having. And you say, don't care. Swami said, Chudo, for whatever I've given you, whatever love I've given you, whatever time I've spent with you, in your life, try to practice what Swami has told you.
So sweet.
Just do only that much. And Swami said, it is my duty to make sure somebody looks at you and thinks that, oh, this boy is very good. I want to be like him.
So profound.
Swami said, that is my duty. So you just go and do what you're supposed to do. You know, when Swami says practice and precept, that boy was asking about how are we going to do this precept part.
Correct.
And Swami was telling him, just do the practice. I will make sure that it becomes a precept to others.
So beautiful.
This title itself.
Right.
And, you know, as you were narrating this experience, I also had a personal experience, which is very simple, but so beautiful. When we just started recording some sessions in the studio, I think in 2003, 2002 or 2003, I'm not remembering, we made a CD with Pancharatra Kritis of Tyagaraja. The music college principal, along with the students, they came and sang here. And we had done that recording, and Swami was in Vrindavan, so all of us were taking something new to show Swami. Swami, this is what we have done. So the stores, the shopping center people, they had brought out some new shirts designed in-house. So they brought, then the book trust people brought some other CDs and other things, some new books that they had
this
brought
out. This was when Swami was in Vrindavan?
Swami was in Vrindavan.
Okay.
So all these things we took from here, and then we went to Vrindavan. And Swami was looking at each of them, very happy, very happy. Then I offered this CD to Bhagwan. Now, just for a cover on the CD, I had made a music college background and Saint Tyagaraja sitting in the front. It was a painting of Saint Tyagaraja, and Swami is standing there. I put Swami there, and his hair was actually coming where there was a lot of coconut trees and all that. So I just cleared out the coconut trees and kind of the background, I made it like clear sky and put a slight glow there. It was just a slight, very subtle glow, actually speaking. And it was looking very beautiful. I was very happy. And so the moment I gave, it was called Rama Bhakti Samrajyam. We had named it Rama Bhakti Samrajyam, Pancharatna Kritis by Music College Boys. And all that. We were actually playing it on Radio Sai. So we just wrote it on a CD and offered it to Bhagwan.
That now, CD is available even now?
No, no, no. It's not available, but it was only for playing on Radio Sai. But to offer it to Bhagwan, we took it in a CD form. And Swami first held the CD in his hand. And he said, who designed this? Yavar chesaru design. Then I said, Swami, I have done it. Then Swami said, why did you put a glow behind Swami's why did you put behind a glow behind Swami's
hair?
Then I said, Swami, I don't know. Then Swami said, did you see it? Did you see it?
So beautiful.
Did you see it? And I said, no, Swami. Then why did you put? You put what you have seen. Means the whole thing is your experience. You don't think of you know, justifying Swami's divinity to others or trying to make Swami look more divine by putting a halo around him. Go by your experience. If you have seen it, you can put it.
So beautiful. That reminds me of a moment in the mandir when Swami would come inside the bhajan hall. And then he would spend some time with the students whenever he had some time, you know, he could squeeze out some time in between interviews to devotees. And that day Swami just asked, who am I?
Okay.
And one of the students just got up and said, Swami, you are God. Swami said, no, mujhko. How do you know I am God? Do you have the experience that I am God? Then that boy was nonplussed. He said, Swami, because you have said. Swami said, I have never said I am God. You are forgetting that I have always said you are God. You don't realize that. Then the boy said, Swami, then what should I say? Then Swami said, you should say, you are Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, my preceptor, whom I love. Because that is the truth. And if you stand on that truth, then you will reach your goal very soon, without any hitch. But if you just fantasize, then you will be just lost.
Be technically correct. Try to be politically and technically correct.
Yes.
Now go by your experience.
Go by.
And so even that experience which Prem narrated, Swami is basically telling you transform yourself. You practice.
Yeah.
That is enough. Automatically things will happen. So beautiful. So that much for the word practice and precept.
Yeah.
Getting to the discourse, Swami started it with this, almost with a reference to the 8th shloka in Bhajagovindam, where it is said, Kate Kanta Kaste Putra, who is your wife and who is your child? And Swami says, this is all temporary, they come and go. Only two things that remain permanent are Dharma and Kirti. So, after that, Swami goes on to talk about this Jnana Netram, Jnana Chakshu and Charma Chakshu. That is, he says, if you are limiting yourself, Jnana Hina Pashubir Samana, they say that. So without Jnana, you are as good as animal.
Yeah.
So he says, develop that Jnana Chakshu. Then after that, Swami goes on to say, give this beautiful point about how this example which Swami gives is very beautiful. He says, Brahman is like the stationary road that supports the movement of all fast running buses and cars. So yeah. It's basically the substratum. And it's so beautiful. And here Swami goes on to the next point where he says, your mind is the cause for your inability to understand the real nature of the world. And he says, the characteristic of the mind is pravritti, external orientation. Man is wasting his life, night and day, for acquiring external things like houses, lands, vehicles, etc. Whereas you have to turn inwards. Sir, in our conversation, you know, over the past few days, there was something very beautiful you mentioned. Because here Swami is talking about the mind. I would like to draw attention to it.
Yeah.
And I was asking you, in spiritual practice, why is so much importance given to pranayama?
Well, Swami said a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. When I had the opportunity to go with him to Madras, and that was way back in 1979.
Uh-huh.
And I was just seemingly closing my eyes, and I had my eyes closed, and I was sitting there like a fool. And Swami was telling that when I am sitting here, why does he not look at me? So, and we had the chance to do Pada Seva. And everyone was taking turns to do Pada Seva. And I was just sitting there. And then Swami said, tu kya karta hai? Then I didn't have words to answer. Then Mr. E. Sudarshan, our warden, who was also sitting there, he said, Swami, he does lot of meditation. And Swami looked at me and said, you do meditation, is it? And what type of meditation do you do? And then he also made a joke of, you know, how many mosquitoes do you kill and all that. Then ultimately, he told me about, you know, different stages of meditation wherein, by mistake, people who don't practice take these stages to be very synonymous.
Okay.
Contemplation, concentration and meditation. So in the same sequence, then Swami said, you know, if you stop, you know, if you want to stop the mind, which is sublimating the mind, Swami made it very clear, you cannot kill the mind, you can sublimate the mind. Because the other side, the averse or the reverse of the mind is buddhi. It's already there.
Oh, okay.
And you cannot say that I don't have a mind. So you are all the time endowed with this wonderful thing called mind. Mm. And you have to sublimate it, otherwise it'll overpower you.
Okay.
It's the king of the senses. And the mind rides on. Mind is nothing but a bundle of thoughts. So many times Swami has said.
Correct.
And where does the thoughts come?
Mm-hmm.
From desire.
Okay.
But for the thoughts to come, mm-hmm. the vehicle is the prana. So if you control mm-hmm. your prana, if mm-hmm. you are able to regulate your prana, mm-hmm. you are regulating the mind.
Beautiful. Mm.
Then he said, if you can stop breathing, mm-hmm. even for a fraction of a second, mm. you will experience that you cannot think at all, coherently. It's not possible.
Mm.
So it was so beautiful. I tried it so many times. Then I understood, this is why we do pranayam. Then Swami said, it is because, you know, spirituality is a journey within. And it's the Nivritti Marga.
Correct.
And in Nivritti Marga, it's from gross to the subtle, to the causal, and then beyond.
Okay.
So when you are on that track, so when you go subtler than mind, but then the body, is actually the mind.
Correct.
And then the prana.
Hmm.
So we all know from Bhagwan. Hmm. Otherwise, we would have never known it in our life.
Yes. Very true.
Yeah. So this is what Swami said.
So basically, you're saying that the entire pranayama that we hear is to go inwards.
Go inwards and sublimate the mind.
Sublimate the mind.
Yeah.
So that's how prana is related to the mind.
Exactly.
Very beautiful.
In fact, if I could add here... you know, this is what the Buddha said when people asked him the quintessence of your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's very simple.
Mm.
And it flows beautifully in Tibetan, poetry.
Mm-hmm.
These are all liturgies.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says that you don't commit sin. That mm-hmm. is number one.
Mm.
Then you do lot of good actions,
mm-hmm.
Which result in good fruits.
Okay.
But then you desist from claiming the fruits of that action. Then sublimate the mind. This is all that I have to tell you. He just summed up his entire teachings in these three important bullet points, you could say.
Beautiful.
When you say sublimate the mind, I'm reminded of that incident. I think many times you've said it here, but the way Swami plays with words and puts it in a way which is so attractive that it'll never miss your memory, you know, it'll never skip your memory. In a gathering of students in the interview room, one Swami materialized a huge diamond and was showing it around to the children, and Swami kept saying, diamond, diamond, diamond. What is a diamond? Swami said. Immediately the boy said, Swami, die mind. Swami said, yes, that's the message. You should kill the mind, Swami said.
Oh.
So one of the boys... quipped.
Uh-huh.
He said, Swami, kill our minds. Uh-huh. He made a prayer to Swami. Swami, kill our minds.
Kill our minds.
Uh-huh. And Swami spontaneously said, yes, I will. Of course. Give me your minds, I will kill it for you.
Oh. So beautiful.
You know, so beautifully, it's such a strong message. And, you know, on another occasion, Swami is told that, you know, one of the failings of the mind or limitations of the mind is the mind can have only one thought at any single moment.
Uh-huh.
So Swami said, as many moments as possible, think of God.
So all those thoughts are obliterated.
All those thoughts are sublimated. And sublimating the mind, Swami is saying, give me your mind, I will kill it for you.
So beautiful.
And I think, you know, that's the way Swami very subtly teaches lessons, and, you know, it never would miss
your
memory.
So practical, so pragmatic. Really.
In fact, when we are talking about this mind, and we go to the next part of the discourse, where Swami says, yes, the mind has to go inwards. And then he makes a few statements which are like more or less the quintessence of all his teachings. And in his beautiful voice, Swami gives this short but sweet sentences in English.
Right.
You think we could get that clip?
Yeah,
is it possible?
I just got it here so beautifully. And it's always a joy to listen to Swami saying anything in English.
Very sweetly. I think we should just play that clip.
Sure.
Man must realize God, feel God, see God, talk to God. This is really religion.
Yes, that's the
this Swami is religion. Says both the things. This is realization.
This is religion.
This is religion. Because many times Swami has said realization is religion.
Ah, yes, yes.
What a succinct definition of religion.
And just see, he says, in order to realize or to sanctify human life, you have to see God. You have to speak to God. You have to feel God.
You have to talk to God.
How amazing.
I think that is one of the greatest blessings you have when you have an avatar.
Correct.
That interpersonal relationship with God.
Correct.
Which we otherwise miss. You know, otherwise God is just that being above, you know, who's just overseeing you and ready to punish you. But I think that is, that change of that concept is something great which Swami has done for all of us. The ability to, you know, have a communion with God. Union comes much later, but to commune with divine.
Here I'm just reminded of a beautiful story my father told me. It was one of his experiences. Actually, he's going in the train, and then he's having this Saratan Sarthi magazine with him, and he's traveling towards Calcutta, and there was an elderly gentleman sitting opposite, and he said, "You youngsters also, why do you follow this man? Now, you people are following him and you are making him famous and he is a big fraud and all that." Then my father said, "With due respect to your age, whom do you worship?" Then he said, "Of course, Lord Krishna. He is the only God. And I know the Bhagavad Gita from starting till ending thoroughly. I can chant rivers. I know all the 700 shlokas, this, that. And Krishna is the only Lord. How can you?" Then my father said, "See, each one has his own experience. And I am from a very humble background, my family. And he has brought me up in life. And he has brought me to a state where I can stand on my own feet. And I'm going for a good job now. For such a person who has really brought me up in life, he is my God." So that man was not convinced, and he was going on and on. Then he said, "See, Sai Baba is, I also love Lord Krishna. I am, you know, I worship him. It's not that I do not worship him. And I am also an artist. I like to draw. Since you are authority on Lord Krishna, I would like to ask you a question. Anything on Bhagavad Gita, on Bhagavatam, anything you ask me, I will tell you. Before you blink your eye, I can tell you. Lord Krishna, I know perfectly." So he just asked him, "What is the height of Lord Krishna?" He says, "What do you mean? Height?" He said, "Yeah. Lord Krishna was in the human form and he lived. I want to know the height." He said, "How do I know?" And he said, "Oh God, you have never seen him. You have never seen Lord Krishna. And you are his foremost devotee.
Forerunner.
You have not seen him. And you worship him so much. And if you want me to go into details, you know, he killed his own uncle. And he did this, he did that. Which is not very right in the worldly plane."
Yeah.
But you are ready to accept all that. And without seeing him, without talking to him, without feeling him, you worship him as God. I mean, here when Swami is telling this definition of what you should do, I'm just reminded of this incident. That man was totally bowled over. He just broke down and he started crying. He says, "I never had such an experience." He said, "How did you?" He said, "No, here is Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, whom we have seen. We have spoken to. He has spoken to us. He has touched our lives. He has transformed our lives. He is my God."
So beautiful.
No, even as you say this, just takes us back to Jim Sinclair's experience. He says, for 30 years, the thought which was constantly troubling him was, "Lord Jesus, how could you be so unfair to me? How could you come 2,000 years? How could I be 2,000 years late? You know, I missed you by 2,000 years. This is so unfair. How could you be so unfair to me?" And it seems that was a thought which he carried for 30 years. He would, you know, in the middle of the night, he would wake up and cry. That's how obsessed he was with that thought. And he said, finally in New York, when he broke down with that, you know, in a very troubled situation in his life, he said, "Jesus, where are you?" And in New York, in his bedroom there, Swami appears in front of him, and he's never seen Swami. And Swami says, "I'm here."
Wow.
So beautiful.
You know, that's the beauty. And another incident I remember is one of my classmates happened to meet a young boy from Shimla who was sitting in the mandir once. And in casual conversation, just happened to realize that that was the first trip for that boy. And how he came to Swami was, somebody had given him a book of Satcharitra, which he read, and till then he used to go to a Shirdi Baba temple, but he didn't know which time frame he belonged to. So when he read Shirdi Satcharitra, you know, he realized that it was just 60, 70 years back that Shirdi Baba had taken Samadhi. And he said, how could I miss? You know, here is such a personality, and how did I miss? And one day he was just sitting in his room and crying. He said, Shirdi Baba, this is so cruel of you. You're so unfair. You know, why did you leave before I could come? And there in his house in Shimla, Swami appeared, and Swami said, no, I'm here. Come to Puttaparthi. And he has come to Parthi. You know, when Swami says, speak to God, commune with God, Swami has shown that even those people who didn't know of this form, who have prayed and who have craved, have been given that experience and have been drawn to him.
Hey, I also would like to share, you know, what I heard from a senior. His name used to be Ravindra Shroff. When I was in my pre-university course, when I was doing that in Vrindavan. And we were preparing for a speech, and then he gave me this material. And it's so powerful. And I shared it in that speech. It's about a Japanese whose name was Haikawa. And when he came for Swami's darshan, Swami created a medallion for him, which was like a heart medallion. It was shaped like a heart, but then it had it was minus one chamber. It was he felt that why should Swami create a heart which looks incomplete? There are supposed to be some four chambers, and one was missing. And then he asked Swami. Swami said, ask yourself, you have forgotten your childhood. It seems when he was born, he was congenitally, like he was born with a weak heart, with only three chambers. And then his father had taken the baby to a shrine of Manjushri in Japan. And then he had offered the baby on the shrine and said that this baby is yours. Because you have given me an incomplete baby. You know, it was like a complaint. And then the baby grew up, and that was Mr. Haikawa. So when he went to Swami, that was after so many years, and then Swami said, reminded him of that incident, and said that you were born like that, and I have been bearing you all these years. When I in fact narrated this beautiful incident, and Dr. Bhagwantam was looking for me everywhere and said, where did you get it from? And I said, you kindly speak to my senior, Ravindra Shroff.
No, I think we are getting into this, but even as we are there, one more thing which I heard from one of my seniors. He went to Varanasi and Kashi. There he met one. There's so many Babas and Gurus over there. A lot of people who keep coming and going. So somebody took him to one particular very, very elderly guru over there. And the moment he came to know that this boy has come from Puttaparthi, he got all excited. He said, Sai Baba, you come from Sai Baba and all that. And then he narrated an experience. You know, this guru, he was a worshipper of, you know, the tantric worship. You know, belongs to that cult. He worships Mother Kali in that terrible looking form. So all his sadhana was in front of a idol of Mother Kali, a black idol of Mother Kali in that form. He would sit in front of it and worship. So it seems after a few years he got really frustrated. And he said, Mother, I've been worshipping you for so long and you've not given me your vision. And I don't feel any closer to you. So he said, there's no point living. So he wanted to go and bang his head against that statue and kill himself. You know, he had come to that, this one. So he went and banging his statue, holding the feet of the mother, he started banging his head against the statue to kill himself. After a few bangs, he felt somebody holding his head when he's trying to bang. Okay? And when he looked up, Swami was standing there in person and holding his head.
So beautiful.
He said, that is how I know Sai Baba.
My God.
He said, he's my mother.
Point, eh?
And can you imagine, he's saying that this happened in the early 1940s.
Oh, God.
You know, when you thought that Swami was in quotes, establishing himself here.
Yeah.
Swami had already started going out to people and, you know, reaching out to them.
Beautiful, beautiful. In fact, that, continuing from this point where Swami says, feel God, speak to God and talk to God, this is more or less a substratum of everything,
yeah,
and the basis of everything. And so, which beautifully flows to the next point where he says, if you want the tree to grow, the Atma Tattva is the seed, the basic principle. Everything that you see, the visible flowers, fruits, and all this are sustained only by the invisible roots.
Yeah.
If you want to sustain this, you have to pour water to the roots. You need not go on flower each, pour water to each. In fact, there Swami mentions, Bijam Mam Sarvabhutanam.
Mm-hmm.
And in our conversation, sir, you narrated one more beautiful incident about Bijam Mam Sarvabhutanam. Quickly, can you just share it with us?
Yeah, we were actually, I was traveling with Bhagwan, mm-hmm, in his car.
Mm-hmm.
It was during that first experience of mine traveling with him to Madras.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then inside the car, I was sitting on the front seat, and mm-hmm, Radha Krishna brother was driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami all of a sudden asked me to sing a song.
Okay.
I sang a song, and then Swami asked Rupak mm-hmm, brother to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Swami said, because these I have to share with you, mm-hmm, it comes in a package. Swami said, both of you sang well,
mm,
but no competition, only perfection, Swami said.
Wow. Mm.
At the competition level, mm, Swami was telling, mm, there are ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the level of perfection, everything is just one and the same.
Wow.
Then by the time I was feeling very sick, I was nauseating, mm, that motion sickness type, mm, of thing. Mm. I said, Swami, I'm very sick.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami just created an orange,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then said, eat this,
mm,
and if you are still sick, I'll throw you out of the car. Every bit of that experience I can't, forget. And then I started peeling. I peeled the orange,
mm,
and wanted to keep the peel in my pocket.
Mm.
Swami said, hey, throw it out.
Mm.
I said, Swami, you have created this.
Mm.
And then Swami said, I have created the whole universe. How much of you can you keep in your pocket? Then when I started eating, then Swami said, mm, what is to be thrown,
mm,
what is tyajya,
mm,
you have to tyaga, you have to throw it out.
Mm.
And then after that, when I started eating the orange, I discovered that there were no seeds in it.
Oh.
And the sweetest orange ever in, mm, my life.
Mm.
And then Swami said, no seed, seedless orange. Mm. Then Swami looked at him, like pointed to himself and said, Bijamam Sarvabhutanam, I am sitting here.
How amazing. How amazing.
Such a beautiful experience. At the time, maybe I was too stupid to really understand all that, the purport of it. But in retrospect, when I think of it today, like, 10 times you think, and then it becomes more and more beautiful.
Wonderful. I think something similar to this seed thing which Swami was telling in another discourse is, he said, see, look at the ocean.
Yeah.
The waves are always restless. They're always up and down and so much of restlessness. But the same ocean, the depth is calm.
Yeah.
But the waves are not different from the ocean. The wave also is part of the ocean.
Yeah.
Swami is saying, all the while you're associating yourself with the wave and thinking that you're a wave. All I'm trying to tell you is, you are the ocean and the depth belongs to you.
So beautiful.
The silence of the depth is what you have to associate yourself with.
Yeah.
That's exactly when Swami says, I am the seed and you all are the branches and the leaves which have come out of it. Are we actually telling ourselves every time that I belong to that seed, I belong to that, the root is what I am.
Nurturing the root is what Swami has said.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just communicate with me, talk to me, talk to God.
I think Swami, in different ways, Swami says, offer all your actions to me. Offer whatever you do to me. It is like telling that it's nurturing the roots. It's putting to where it belongs. Water it, not, at the leaves, but water it at the root.
In fact, this is what is constant integrated awareness.
Mm-hmm.
All the time being aware that I am God, I am God.
Correct. Then he says, okay, you want to do that. Then he says, important for that is renunciation. You have to have renunciation. That's what Swami comes to the next point in the discourse. But very beautifully he says, renunciation is not giving up wife, children, progeny and running away. And he says, the actual thing that you have to, what is actually the reason for your bondage? He says, it is the delusion that you are the body. He says, give up that. Then everything else is fine. So then he gives those four steps of deha virakti, then deva ashakti, and then
it leads to bandha vimochana and moksha prapti.
Moksha prapti.
Moksha prapti. So that he, Swami, brings out those four. And then he goes on to the next point about mind. He says, can you really get rid of the body and mind? He says, no. You have to understand it is momentary and you have to use it. And you have to use it for the right as instrument. The body, senses, mind, intellect, all these are mere instruments. Mm-hmm. Then from there, Swami moves on to give up the enjoyership and doership. That is kartrutva and bhortrutva. Give up those two. Then he says, understand your true nature. Gives the example of the elephant, which is being controlled by the mahout with a small
ankush.
Musk deer. And then he goes to this beautiful shlokam, Brahmanandam Paramasukadam. You think we can play that clip again?
Because I have it here. Because Swami sings it differently, I think.
Yeah.
Not the usual tune.
Nityanandam Paramasukadam Kevalam Jnanamurtim Dvandvatitam Gagana Sadrusham Ekam Nityam Vimalam Achalam Sarvati Sakshibhutam Bhavatitam Triguna Rahitam Idi Atma Swarupam Yokka Atma Swabhavam Yokka Sarainatvanti Yokka Gurtulu.
These are the symbols of true Atma.
Amazing. What a joy to listen to it again.
Really.
And these are the symbols, or you can't say these are the attributes, because again Atma is attributeless.
Yeah.
So these are the, he says, guttulu means by which it can be identified, something like that.
Symbol. Identity marks. Marks.
Like marks, but it is not the nature or it's not the attributes.
Even as Swami is using words to describe that which is indescribable.
Yeah.
Just heard a talk sometime back in which they make a beautiful reference to a very important event in one of the, I think, Shiva Puranam, where Shiva takes the form of that pillar of light.
Yes.
And he challenges Brahma and Vishnu to, you know, Brahma to find the top and Vishnu to find the source of that pillar.
Mm-hmm.
So Brahma goes and comes back and he pretends that he has gone to the top by offering that flower. And Vishnu comes and says that, no, I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So this person interprets it, he says very beautifully, he says Brahma stands for Vak Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Brahma is the, he has the consort Saraswati, stands for the ability to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And Vishnu, the one of the translations of the word Vishnu is that which pervades everything. And in a sense which we can understand, that is the mind. The mind pervades everything. So it is said that one is the mind and the other is the word.
Okay.
Oh.
And that's why it is described as, you know, the mind and the word return defeated.
Correct.
You know, aprapya manasasaha. And he says, but the word always tries to describe, it seems.
Yeah.
That is the essence of Brahma telling that, no, I have gone to the top.
Word tries to describe that which it cannot.
That which is indescribable. And when you said that Nityananda, Brahmananda, these cannot be the attributes. I think that's what it is. We know that it is indescribable, but we somehow try to stuff.
This is an explanation from Bhagwan. What a wonderful thing. Like, most of the people take it very literally.
Right.
Brahma went up.
Then again Swami goes on to say that it's like the treasure. You know, you have a treasure chest and you have a box with lot of gems and pearls and precious things inside. And he says, Likewise, the invaluable treasury of bliss is being constantly guarded by the highly poisonous serpent called Ahankara.
Ahankara.
So, then he says, the root cause of Ahankara is Deha Bhramti. Again, he comes back to that. He's Ahankara. Swami has told that Aham plus Akara is Ahankara. And he says that is again the reason for that. And then here, very simple statement which Swami makes, which is so beautiful. He says, so how do you come out of this whole problem? He says, before entering into any action, ask yourself thus, I am the embodiment of the divine Atma. Is it proper for me to engage myself in this action or not? So, before performing any action, we have to just remind ourselves. So, that is constant integrated awareness, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
So, constantly if you are aware of that, then that is good. Then one of the very good, I would say, ideal character that you should have is patriotism, where Swami brings the connection to that. And he says, he gives this beautiful story about Subhash Chandra Bose. And how he had this burning fervor and for love for the country. Then I think again he concluded the last.
The idea of patriotism which Swami brings here, it's like Swami says self-expansion basically. From limiting yourself to this body, are you able to see, I mean, place your happiness on the welfare of that community around you? Are you able to place that happiness on the welfare of the country around you? So that's why patriotism becomes very important. It's a direct way for you to express that selflessness.
Correct. Yeah. Going beyond your limited self.
Right. Yeah. And that's why Swami, the beautiful example of Subhash Chandra Bose.
And then very nicely Swami concluded the clip by saying, all the holy scriptures are not meant for Parayanam. They are actually meant for practice. He says, knowing all the 700 slokas of the Gita is only a proof of ostentation.
Adambaram.
Adambaram. So I think we have more or less summarized to this point. Can we go to the next clip?
Right. This is the last clip. It's just a 5-minute clip.
Sure.
With this, I think we'll conclude this discourse.
Discourse. Okay.
Yantamandi Bhagavad Gita ku vyakhyanam chestunnaru.
How many people there are who can offer the commentaries?
Idi bhakti anukuntara? Kaadu kaadu. Idi aadambaramainatundi yokka tattvam.
This is not devotion. It is only show and ostentation.
Ee naadu aakara manavunakante aachara manavudu atyavasaram.
The need of the hour is people who practice.
Aachara manavuni valle lokarikantakunu oka upayogam untundadi.
Men who practice would be highly useful for this world.
Aacharam lenitundi yokka vicharamu prayojanam emiti?
What is the use of thinking without practicing?
Kevalamu oka samasthalo oka peru pondachchu.
If you may get a name,
inka goppa vaadaipochindi Brahma Sri lekapothe inke vidhamainatundi Padma Sri Padma Vibhushana pondachchu.
You may get some title like Padma Sri or Padma Vibhushana.
Kaani sunvanti visse amritasya putraha ane birudunu ee vidhanta andukoleru.
But you can never become the child of immortality by all these kind of
things. Ee minchinatundi title marokati ledu.
And there is nothing.
Neevu amrita putrudavu, amrita putrudavu, amrita putrudavu ani vedamu chaatutu untundali.
The greatest title which Veda has declared is that you are the child of immortality, and this is the greatest title.
Kanaka vidyarthulara dana padavula kosamani kaani peru pratishthalu kosamani kaani meeru plakulu adakandi.
Dear students, do not aspire for the sake of amassing wealth and money.
Deshabhimanamu daivabhimanamu dharmabhimanamu penchukondi.
Develop attachment for the country, love for the Lord, and love for dharma.
Dharmanyeva. Dharmamunuku minchinatundi ledu. Satyam nasti paro dharma. Satyamunukante minchinatundi dharmam kani, dharmamunuku minchinatundi satyam kani, marokati ledu. Satya dharmamulu rendu kudunu avinabhava sambandhamulu anyonya aasrayam.
Truth and righteousness are mutually dependent. There is a close relation between them. There is no truth greater than dharma, no dharma greater than truth.
కనుక ఏ కించిత్తైనా కూడా మనం ఆచరించి ఇతరులకు అందించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి.
యూ షుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఇన్ ఎ లిటిల్ క్వాంటమ్ అండ్ ఆఫర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ యాజ్ అన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఆనంద తత్వం అనేటువంటిది మనకు అర్థమవుతుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్
నిజముగా మీరు ఆనంద స్వరూపులు.
యూ ఆర్ బేసికలీ ది వెరీ
ఆనంద నిమిత్తమై మీరు అన్ని విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క కర్మలు ఆచరిస్తున్నారు.
ఆల్ యువర్ యాక్షన్స్ ఆర్ మెంట్ ఫర్ ఆనందం కోసమని.
పెళ్లి చేసుకునేది ఆనందం కోసమని, బిడ్డలు కావాలనేది ఆనందం కోసమని, ఉద్యోగం కావాలనేది ఆనందం కోసమని, ధనం సంపాదించాలని అన్ని ఆనందం కోసమని. లక్ష్యం ఒక్కటి.
దేర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ గోల్, ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ బ్లిస్, వెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఫర్ స్టడీస్, మ్యారేజ్, చిల్డ్రన్.
గోల్ వేరు వేరు అయినప్పటికీ గమ్యం ఒక్కటి.
ద పాత్స్ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ బట్ ద గోల్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్.
కనుకనే శృంగారములు వేరు, బంగారం ఒక్కటి.
ద జ్యువెలరీ మే బి డిఫరెంట్ బట్ ద గోల్డ్ ఈజ్ వన్.
పశువుల వన్యలు వేరు, పాలు ఒకటి.
ది కలర్ ఆఫ్ ద మిల్క్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్ ఆల్దో ది కలర్ ఆఫ్ ది
జీవ జంతువులు వేరు, జీవుండు ఒక్కటి.
ద ఇన్డ్వెలర్ ఈజ్ వన్, ది
జాతి నీటిలు వేరు, జన్మ ఒకటి.
బర్త్ ఈజ్ వన్, ద క్యాస్ట్ అండ్ రిలీజన్.
దర్శనములు వేరు, దైవం ఒక్కటి.
గాడ్ ఈజ్ వన్ బట్ ది వేరియస్
దర్శన. జాతులు వేరు, పూజలు ఒకటి.
ది వర్షిప్ ఈజ్ వన్, ఫ్లవర్స్ మే బి
తెలియలేకను మానవులు తెలివి తప్పి.
Foolish ones do not know this basic truth.
బ్రతుకు కోసం బహుబాధ బద్దులై.
ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ దిస్,
ఈ బ్రతుకు కోసం ఎన్ని మార్గములు పడుతున్నారే కాని నిజంగా యోచిస్తే అన్ని చేరి ఒక్కటే.
అన్నెసరీ ట్రబుల్ యూఆర్ టేకింగ్ టు లీవ్ దిస్
పర్టికులర్. మనం విమర్శించకూడదు.
డూ నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్ ఎనీ రిలీజియన్.
నా మతం వేరని చెప్పిన దాన్ని పెద్దగా వర్ణించకూడదు.
డూ నాట్ గోన్.
అన్ని మతముల యొక్క అభిమానాన్ని మనం పురస్కరించుకోవాలి.
We have to bring about a harmonious understanding of various
religions. కేవలం నామతం గొప్పది, నీమతం గొప్పది అని వాదోపవాదములు వేయటము, ఇది కేవలం సంకుచితమైనటువంటి బుద్ధుల యొక్క స్వభావం.
ఇట్ ఇస్ నారో మైండెడ్నెస్ టు సే దట్ వన్స్ రిలిజియన్ ఇస్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ ది అనదర్స్ రిలిజియన్.
ఇది అన్ని మతములు ఒక్కటి, అన్ని మతముల యొక్క బోధన ఒక్కటే, అన్ని మతముల సత్యము ఒక్కటే.
ద ట్రూత్ అండ్ ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ రిలిజియన్స్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్, దేర్ఫోర్ ఆల్ రిలిజియన్స్ ఆర్ బేసికల్లీ ద సేమ్.
సంకుచితమైనటువంటి భావము లోపల పరమత్వను విమర్శించడం కాని సమతమును వర్ణించడం కాని ఉండకూడదు.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, యూ షుడ్ నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్ అదర్స్ రిలిజియన్స్, షుడ్ నాట్ గో ఆన్ ప్రైజింగ్ యువర్ ఓన్ రిలిజియన్. దిస్ ఈస్ రాదర్
అన్నింటికీ ఒక గౌరవం మనం అందించాలి.
షో రెస్పెక్ట్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీ రిలిజియన్.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి సమత్వాన్ని మనం అనుసరిస్తూ పోతుంటే తప్పక మన దివ్యత్వం అనేటువంటిది మన తప్పక ఆవిర్భవిస్తుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ ఫాలో దిస్ పాత్ ఆఫ్ ఈక్వాలిటీ అండ్ ఈక్వల్ మైండెడ్నెస్, యూఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు రీచ్ ది గోల్ ఆఫ్ డివినిటీ అండ్ బ్లిస్ విచ్ యూ రియలీ ఆర్.
కాన విద్యార్థులు క్రమక్రమేణా విద్యతో పాటు సమత్వంతో పాటు ప్రేమతత్వాన్ని మనం అనుభవించి దివ్యత్వమైనటువంటి ఏకత్వాన్ని మనం అనుభవించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలని నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
Dear students, along with your education, you will have to just also develop love and divinity and enjoy and experience, offer yourselves as an ideal to the world. Thus, I am bringing the discourse to a close.
Swami said, develop equal-mindedness, universal love, and so that you can experience the unity in diversity. And what a beautiful way to end the discourse. Going back, Swami is redefining who you actually, your identity. If we had an identity card, it should say Amrita Putra.
Yeah, Amrita Putra.
He says, and this whole thing, how Swami beautifully says, pursuit of happiness. Everything that we are doing, either what we call as spiritual or what we call worldly, everything is for that bliss. We are pining for that bliss. We are in search for that bliss, and we think we get it in these different ways. That's exactly what Swami has told.
And this, again, Swami is repeating this point, acharamanavudu and akaramanavudu.
Yeah.
You know, because Swami is saying just the form is not enough. You have to behave like a human being. It's just, if you, suppose you have a convict who is also mentally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
The way law treats him is completely different because it doesn't see him as a complete human being.
Mm.
I think that's how God must be seeing all of us.
Correct.
You know, he must be seeing.
The form is human.
Mm.
Right. And you don't have the buddhi of.
The kindness, that humane quality, Swami says.
I think in one of the discourses which we went through, Swami said, you know, to err is human.
To forget divine.
Swami is saying, who told you that to err is human? He said, you are fooling yourself by thinking that it's okay to make mistakes because you're human. Yeah. I'm saying human is divine. How can you make mistakes? That is the strict.
In fact, Swami says that human, that word itself, comes from that humane, which is compassion.
Right.
Correct.
So by nature, you are supposed to be compassionate. And then about that bliss thing, you know, we are all the time in search of happiness, bliss. And on one of those, you know, moments, Swami, very esoterically, he said that you were conceived at a moment when your father and mother, they were in the peak of bliss. You are a child, you are conceived at that time, you are a child of that bliss. Even, you know, physically. When you look at it, Swami said, you are, so you are all the time constantly in search of bliss, and before you were born, you were in bliss. It's only during this interval, which is life, that you are sometimes miserable. All bumps and jumps, Swami says.
In fact, you know, as you're talking about bliss, I'm reminded of here when I read this line, he says the invaluable treasury of bliss is being constantly guarded by the highly poisonous serpent called Ahankara.
Ahankara.
Now, you narrated one beautiful experience where you were not in bliss. All the bliss in you were was taken away because you were sticking on to Ahankara. Can you please share that?
No, actually, there were so many such occasions in life because you make a mistake. And then again you feel that Swami redeemed me, and then again you continue. But then these were all eye-openers. One such occasion was, I think this was what I was sharing with you.
Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. I just wrote a letter to Swami. And that, Swami, I want to see, be there in Prashanti Lamb during Ishwarama Divas.
Okay.
And I never thought that Swami would really accept my, you know, answer my prayer. And then Mr. Sisinivas, who was a warden, he just called me and said, Swami has called you to Puttaparthi to be part of the Ishwarama Divas celebration. I couldn't believe my ears, but then I was so happy, and then announcements were made that so and so, Sonam is going to Prashanti Nilayam. So whoever wants to write letters can write. So, you know, normally lecturers would go to Prashant Lamb, we would write letters and they would take the letter. Now this time it was my turn to take the bundle of letters written by students, and I felt so important. And really I was so bloated and feeling so important, like the emissary of, you know, everybody going to Bhagwan. When I reached Prashant Lamb, the only thought in my mind was that Swami would just straight away called me inside. So I sat right in the front, just near the interview room door. Swami came out, didn't even look at me, and that was the first cold shoulder treatment, whatever we call it. And Swami just went out and gave darshan. I thought on his way back, he will definitely take me in. He came back, and he didn't notice me at all. And when Swami doesn't notice you, he doesn't pretend. He just doesn't see you at all. You are not there. You don't exist. And that is what makes the entire experience so dreadful. Then he went inside, and then bhajan was about to commence. By the time I was feeling miserable, sat inside the bhajan hall, thought that at least this moment I'll grab it and then communicate or whatever. I was just sitting there. After the bhajan, he just caught hold of me and took me into the interview room through his door. The moment he closed the door, after we were inside the interview room, he just turned to me without wasting time, without even, you know, he just looked at me and said, itna ahankar kahe ko karta hai. I just broke down and said, Swami, ahankar ho jata hai, kya karu, Swami? I become egoistic. It just crops up. It just comes up, Swami, what to do? Swami said, Sai Swarpanamastu bolo. Swami ko smaran karo, ahankar nahi hota hai. That again takes us back to the beginning of, you know, this beautiful discourse on precept and practice, wherein you be in constant awareness of the Sai within, then there is no ahankar, because every time Sai Swarpanamastu. So since that day, whatever I do, whatever, you know, wherever I go, this mantra comes again and again in my life. Again and again I keep chanting Sai Swarpanamastu.
What a beautiful incident. What a beautiful incident. And how clearly Swami says, your bliss was lost because you were clutching onto ahankara.
Clutching onto ahankara.
The moment you gave up the ahankara, there was bliss. Swami took you close to him.
Really.
Beautiful. That's what all these truths we have lived through, seen it, and experienced it with Bhagwan.
Really?
And that's the beauty of this. We need not imagine, or we need not try to imagine how it is. For the sages, everything they had to understand with just their imagination. Here we actually had these experiences.
It's like a drama, and if you have one enough a drama, what you would have a plethora of experience laid out in a lifetime, you fit it in that one and a half hours.
Yeah, correct.
Because I remember one of the teachers in school was once asking the class, what defines a drama? How should a drama be? And they gave all kinds of definitions. He said, a drama should be dramatic. That's all it is. When you look at it, because there's so much needs to be packed in that one and a half hours. Living with Swami was like that. These are all lessons you would learn over lifetimes. Swami made it like a small laboratory where you could, have practically learned all this. When Swami says, if you have a ahankara, you will not have bliss. A small sample for that.
Exactly.
When you say you have to water the roots and you have to everything, a small example for that.
Exactly.
When Swami says, I am the seed, a small example for that. A quick succession of so many things, and I think it's a inexhaustible treasure.
That's
of,
right.
People having personal experiences like this.
Correct. And the beauty is, he gives us that experience and he gives us the understanding to get the import of that experience.
Yeah.
And he has done more than spoon feeding, and we have to only swallow it. He has put the spoon in our mouth, he has put the food, all we have to do is swallow it. I think that much we have to do on our own.
Really? So that reminds me of another drama that we were also doing, because every generation of students, we have gone through so many beautiful dramatic episodes, drama experiences with Bhagwan, and every time we have learned so much. We were doing this Radha Krishna drama, and Swami was coming and watching the drama rehearsal every time. And then during one of those occasions, Swami taught us such a simple but so such a profound thing. Swami said, I'll just tell you a story and then you will know how to act in this drama. He said, there was a drama going on, a rehearsal. Swami was just, taking us back, taking us to another, spot where there was a similar drama going on. And then the drama director was there. And there was a scene wherein somebody was just shot. And that man had to pretend that he would drop dead. And he was shot and he dropped down. He was supposed to be dead. And then the director just cut short the thing and said, no, there is no life in your dying.
Amazing.
You have to put more life in this act of dying. Then Swami said, drama is like that. You have to get into the role. Till you get into the skin of that person whose role you are playing, then it's incomplete. So I am teaching you this drama. I am asking you to act in this drama. But then you have to think of the bigger drama of life, wherein you have to play the role of a good human being. Every moment, every time, it is all value orientation and
what
nothing else.
What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story.
Wonderful. Swami is saying that it's important to be in the role also. We are always thinking that spirituality is transcending the role completely. Swami is saying transcend it mentally, but physically you are in the role.
Be in the role.
So act it perfectly.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And that's what Swami is saying, after saying that you have to see the unity, you have to see that. At the end of it, Swami is summarizing, now practically what you should do. Swami is saying patriotism. Swami is saying here, have equal-mindedness. Develop universal love. After saying all the philosophical things, Brahmanandam, Nityanandam, Swami is saying, these are the day-to-day things you can start by practicing.
And again, he says, how to do it? Before putting every action, remind yourself.
Yeah.
I am the embodiment of Atma.
Atma.
Is this befitting me or not?
I am a child of immortality.
Immortality. That is, I think, the summary of this particular discourse.
So I think, past 8:30 we'll conclude this. Sir, wonderful having you on the show again. So on behalf of all the listeners, I think we should
thank you. What a privilege being here once again.
And it's definitely, you'll agree with us, what a beautiful job we all are having to listen to Swami's discourse like this over and over again.
So beautiful.
So thank you again, sir, for
thank
being
you
with
so
us.
Much. Thank you.
So dear listeners, we thank you also for being with us. we would definitely be glad to listen from you, what you think about our program. You can write in your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai. As always, with me was Sai Prakash and our special guest, Sunam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University. We offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. In a short while from now, you'll have the last episode of the day outside, inside, deep inside with Brother Bishu. We're going to leave you with the bhajan which Swami sang at the end of this discourse. Because as we said, we concluded the 14th discourse in the series. We'll meet you next week with the next discourse.
हे शिव शंकर नमामि शंकर शिव शंकर शंभो हे शिव शंकर नमामि शंकर शिव शंकर शंभो हे गिरिजापति भवानी शंकर Shiva Shankara Shambho